Welcome to the Fly Culture Podcast, bringing you interviews, reviews, and fishing tips. Here's your host, Pete Tigus.
It's been a long time coming. There's been a pandemic, but now I'm sitting in Italy with Vito. If you're a regular listener to the Fly Culture Podcast, you know the podcast where I spoke to him about fishing in Italy, and he said we start the day with coffee. I said I'm in, and I was in, and I'm here now, and I'm so excited to be here. Vito, I can't tell you what it means to be here at long last. We've had a lot to get over to get here, but we're now here, and it's great to be in Italy with you about to fish these wonderful streams.
Well, first of all, buongiorno. Buongiorno with a nice coffee. Actually, that was the first time I managed to sell a trip just for a coffee. That was great. No, I'm so happy that we made it. You know, as you said, that was long due, the pandemic and all the problems. But finally, we are here, and that's the first day. I'd be excited.
I can't tell you how my roommate Steve and I were up at silly o'clock getting all our stuff ready. It's ridiculous. I've been on so many trips. I've been lucky to fish in so many places, yet I still get excited about going fishing. And the weather's fantastic. We drove in today. We got a glimpse of the river and talked last night. It was dark. We were drinking grappa, talking fishing, talking techniques and the stuff we're going to do. But Vito, if people haven't listened to the podcast, can you tell us just a little bit about where we are and the sort of fishing that we're going to be doing?
So we are in northern Italy, actually in northeastern Italy, more or less, let's say, is Trentino region. Trentino region is at the border with Austria, just to give you an idea about the position. What's amazing about Trentino is the mountain, high mountain and lower mountain fishing, let's say. The big advantage of Trentino is that we are on an incredible amount of water. So it's very various, let's say. So you can fish for a very tiny mountain stream, side stream, down to a bigger river in the valley. That's why we are always checking the condition. We will make the final plan actually this morning, because also our local guys are checking several bits, and we will choose the best according to the water condition, fishing activity, and, you know, last but not least, the angler's condition, because we had too much grappa yesterday. So I'm a bit afraid we won't manage to do, you know, like high climbing. No, just kidding. Regarding the fishing technique, also the technique, since the water is various, the technique is various. There will be surely the chance to do what we call pesca in caccia, which is like hunting fishing. Especially in summertime, we fish dry fly. But it's a dry fly, not on a fish rising. So it's about blind fishing, reading the water. Up high in the mountain, the season is quite short. So the fish generally, even if they are not rising, because there is no massive hatches, fish are always looking up for a meal. Coming to the technique itself, you can fish from a short rod very fast. That's what they call also Italian casting style. It's all about fly first presentation and managing the drag and so on, but also like what I like to call mountain technique. So you can fish dry fly or nymph or even streamer on a, let's call it, a neuro-nymphing rod, just to, you know, be clear. So it's with very light rod, long and light, so 10-3, 10-2 or something like that. That's it. I mean, we'll see.
That sounds fantastic. We were talking last night, and Vito was saying, you know, big caddis, and fishing those over fast pockets of water, which sounds super excited. So before we hit the river, again, we've got to do the important thing, have another quick cup of coffee, and then we'll keep you up to date with what we're doing. And I'll try my utmost to describe the rivers and the experiences, and hopefully you'll get a sense of being here with us. So, so from the noise, you can probably tell we're now on the river. We're high up. We've travelled about 40 minutes away from where we were staying, and the river's dropping quite aggressively. It's what I'd call typically a mountain stream, pocket water, big boulders in front of me, the pool. There's a boulder probably the size of a mini or so. It's obviously thousands, perhaps millions of years ago, has been washed down. The water is crystal clear. We're set up. I've got a guideline. It's a 9'9" weight. It's called a tactical plus, I think, and I'm fishing very, very little line out of the water. So I've got a balloon caddis on, about a size 14. I guess the thinking here is that there's not so much food, so the fish are a little keener to come look at food. I'm fishing probably, if anything, a foot. I've got a leader of about 10, 11 feet, 12 feet, and then a tiny bit of fly line, and I'm just working these pockets of water. Am I excited? You can probably tell from my voice, yes. It's just everything I'd sort of hoped it would be. It's really warm. I need to say about the weather, you know, it's 30 degrees or so, but we're in a valley here, and it's shaded, so it feels really cool. The water being mountain, I guess it's glacial fed, is really, really cold to the touch. We were talking about wet wading, but I'm glad I've got my waders on at the moment. But it's just wonderful seeing, and you can probably hear the noise and the rush of the river. I guess the takes, if they come, are going to be quite aggressive and positive. So I'm looking forward to trying it out. Because it's a steep valley, we take it in turns. There's lots of pools and drops and everything else. And I'm fishing with Kieran today. And he's got off the mark with a beautiful trout, a brown trout of 8-9 inches, ate his caddis, and everything went to plan. I'm sort of standing on the true right bank, looking down about 20 feet at the guys walking upstream, working their way around the rocks and everything else. And they're going to pick a pocket. I'm standing looking at a fish. It's probably 60, 70 feet away, and it's a big bass. And he's feeding. I can see him quite clearly from this distance in this crystal clear water. I see him sway from left and then to right. And he's rhythmically feeding right now. And I think, I don't know if Kieran's going to have a go or not. It doesn't matter. It's a team effort. And whoever gets a shot at this fish will be super cool. I'm shaking like a leaf. I've got to be honest with you. Seeing a fish like that in crystal clear waters, there's a hint of New Zealand about this, you know, there really is. And the way that you can see these good-sized fish from such a big distance. Now, they've just got into the tail of the pool, and I've seen three smaller fish just scoot upstream. The big guy's still feeding, though. He's still having a ball. And, yeah, this could be absolutely epic, the way it plays out. I'll try and describe it best as I can. If it looks like it may be Kieran, I don't know who's going to shoot at this one. But, yeah, I don't know. It must be three pounds. It's really hard to see. It's a long distance away. But I can just see, you know, it's a really, really good-sized fish. Now, he's scooted away, actually. Now, he's shifted position. No, he's come back. So he travelled a long way to pick something off there. And that was, yeah, I thought he'd gone and perhaps the moment had passed. But, yeah, I think Kieran's, can't see if he is moving. He's, another fish has just spooked upstream. And the big guy, yeah, he's the big guy's bugged out. Big guy's bugged out. So that one spooked it. And, yeah, he's gone. So we've been working our way upstream. And it's just so picturesque. There's boulders. Again, you can probably hear the background music of the river. There's a lot of clambering, but in a cool, safe way. Stefano's looking after us really well, my little short legs and short arms, and it's been great fun spotting fish. I've been lucky enough to get one. Kieran's on fives, had a couple. I also, in a deep pot, I was waiting for the guys that were fishing the pool above
flipped to fly in, and a great big trout came out of the bottom, ate it, leapt around a bit. I got a look at him, and he threw the hook. But just looking out, the sunshine's dappling off a few rocks. The water temperature, like I said before, is glacial, so it's really cold. The fish are fighting fit, you know, incredibly strong. Fish we've been catching around 8 to 10, 12 inches, beautifully marked, each one different. And there's a variety of little pots and pools, and we're sight casting. A lot of the time we're seeing fish as well, which makes it all the more exciting. Is it what I hoped it would be? It's that and a little bit more, I think. You know, I've had to, there's been a tree down in the middle of a gully that's probably 12, 14 feet wide. And I've had to make a tiny little bow and arrow cast to try and cover a fish there. Stuff like that is why I love fishing so much. And it's thrilling. This is the sort of first trip for Kieran as well. And he's just loving every second of it. Every moment he's sort of savoring. And he's just fishing supremely well, which is just awesome to see. So this was really exciting. Kieran was fishing a pool just above, hooked into a fish. Stefano said, there's a back eddy, I've seen something. We both flipped in, and it was really exciting to see a double hookup. But the thing that's really struck me today is Stefano's passion for the fishing as well as the fish. But he's a guide after my own heart, that it's not about numbers, it's not about size, it's the place. Stefano, already we're only a short time into this trip, but it's been amazing to fish with you. Your awesome company, your knowledge is fantastic. I just wanted listeners to get a sense of what this river actually means to you. Why do you love it so much?
I love this water because it's so clear. It's peaceful for the mind and for the body. And it's the real fly fishing for me. Is of course you lost a bit the part of the cast, but you saw the fish, you target the fish, you are looking if it's more active or less active, where they can stay, be careful to move, and you have to arrive close to the fish, and you can really enjoy the action about the fish comes to take your fly. And it's even that moment is the best part of the fishing for me. Then, of course, the fish and everything. But up in the mountain, crystal clear water, in the Dolomites, what else? It's magic.
Stefano's saying we've moved 100 meters in 2.5 hours, something like that. And we've come on a pool, and in a back eddy, there's one of those trout sitting there that you sort of kind of dream of. Looks like it's picking off midges. You can see it's probably, for me, 50 feet away in a little bit of a back eddy. Kieran's go. Every time it rises, you can see the white of its mouth. Kieran's put one fly at it, and it had a look, but wasn't exactly what he's after. He's changed. We spent a bit of time watching, and he's putting a cast over it, and he's got it. He's got it. What a fish. That was quality, absolute quality fish. There was no hesitation, went smaller pattern, and he shot off out of the pool. He's a strong fish. Yeah, he's a strong fish. Absolute stunner. He's coming downstream now. He's downstream. Yep, and we got him. What a beauty. Kieran, beautifully done, mate. Beautifully done. One of those fish that you just dream about seeing, the white of its mouth as it comes out. Absolutely fantastic. Awesome was the word he used. And yeah, that was pretty special. Lunchtime's really cool because we get to meet up with everyone, and we've walked downstream a little bit, and the we get to see a different bit of river. It looks a little bit flatter here, and where we were fishing, the river tumbles down a little bit more. There's more defined plunge pools on there. But I'm really thrilled that Johannes and Rebecca have joined us. Johannes, if you read Fly Culture, has written two articles for us. And I met both Johannes and Rebecca a number of years ago now, actually. They were cycling from Ireland on their way to Finland, and they stopped off in Devon, and Johannes hadn't caught a grayling before, so we managed to find a grayling on the River Lid, which was great fun, and we've stayed in touch ever since, and they now have a young family. So they've got a few days away without the family. They're fishing hard. I know when we got here last night that Johannes was really keen to hit the river straight away, but it's great to have both of you here. How's it been this morning? Have you enjoyed yourselves?
Of course I've enjoyed myself. It's tough though. It's not easy fishing. I thought the limestone rivers in Ireland were clear, and they were clear compared to Finland, where I've just moved from. But this is like on another level. It's like, you know, cliche gin clear, but it is like incredibly clear. But Italian trout have the decency not to show themselves when they spook. It's like you never know they were even there. They're so pale against the pale bottom that it's like, you know, you don't know when you've messed up.
That's a really interesting point, the lightness of the fish, because they're not, it's taken me a little bit to actually spot them, and it has been tricky to spot them, hasn't it, Rebecca, at times?
Yeah, they're like ghosts. I can't really see them at all. But I did manage to catch one, and it felt like an honor, and I was shaking afterwards, and it was just amazing to be here.
That's what it's all about, I think, and we were saying the same, and I know previously on when I've been talking, the excitement of actually being here, get to fish with people who feel the way that you do about it as well. And as Johannes was saying, and I think, you know, I've been saying, it's, you can see them there at times, and they don't give themselves up, but when they eat it, they eat it. And it's been a really, using the old cliche, stepping outside of the comfort box a little bit, really, or the comfort zone. And that's been fun for me, to fish somewhere that I've not fished before. I think, to me at least, it feels more sort of American Midwest in some respects. You know, the pine trees everywhere, mountains, fast-flowing streams that are clear. And that's what it's kind of reminded me about. But I think we've earned lunch, haven't we?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think there's an Eskimo saying that a hungry man hunts best, but I'm willing to go against that now. I could eat something.
Absolutely. We're going to have a quick break.
Go and get a beer while we wait for the other.
We fished a little bit further upstream this afternoon. Had a good poke around. Found some more. I was really lucky that I wanted to start the afternoon just before lunch. I had a crack at a fish that came to the fly twice. Didn't stick, and so for me it was a bit of a mission to go back and see if I can catch it, and thankfully I was really lucky that he was a bit, gave me a better shot this time, so he had the fly, and then I had his buddy in the pool as well, which was a little bit of, it made me feel a little bit better. When you're fishing with people, sometimes you want them to see that you have a good feel of what's actually going on. And when you do miss them, sometimes just the tiniest tinge of pride when you miss one. So it was kind of nice to be able to catch that fish. So this is sort of really walking back. The sun's out, the mountains are around us. Kieran and Stefano are walking ahead, discussing the day. It's lovely seeing people on, both the guide as well, on a high about the day and how it's gone. And we're signing off. We're going to do something different tomorrow. So I will let you know what's going to happen then. Welcome to day two of the Fly Culture Italian Job Tour. It's morning. We've made a drive right up into the mountains. We're at cloud level, and the road has been a twisty, turny road, and we're really high. I can see rivers that are tumbling down off of the mountains. I can see the Dolomites just a short distance away, and it's absolutely stunning here. We passed what looked a stunning stream as well, and it featured, I know I've seen pictures of Fly Culture contributor Susan Scrooper fishing over here, and I kind of recognized the stream straight away from the photos. Things like that are sort of imprinted on your mind, and getting to see that, I don't know if we'll get time at the end of it, but I'm going to chat to Paolo in a minute and get a sense of what the plan is for today. So we've been really lucky with the guides. The guides so far, you can tell a good guide. And having spent time with Stefano, Vito and Paolo, they really know their stuff. They know the water. They're passionate about it. But I'm just chatting with Paolo today, and I've described Paolo, the drive up, how stunning it is here, how everything looks so beautiful. What is the plan for today? What are we going to be fishing for? Where are we going to be fishing?
Okay, right now we are at the Cornisello Lake at 2,100 meters above sea level. And there are two lakes connected with from a small creek. And the target today is Arctic char and some trout, brown. You know, is a stunning view, and it's already a privilege to be able to fish in this place. The extra, the bonus is that we fish basically all the time on the dry and at sight. This is the best you can do.
That sounds absolutely amazing. And it's a first for me that it's Arctic char. I've never caught them. So I'm really, really excited about that. I'm more, as you listen to the podcast, you know, I'm really more from a river background. But hearing, as Paolo said, you know, that we're going to target a fish I've never caught before, and we're going to target them with dry flies in crystal clear water. We've also got the added bonus that there's some streams, of course, running in and out of there as well. So we can go have a look at that. We're going to have lunch at a place as well that sounds fantastic. So I think everything is set for one of those special days on the water. The walk from the car is a short one. There's a river, there's a waterfall tumbling down probably 60-70 feet. The lake is absolutely beautiful. It's probably 6 or 7 acres, something like that. The water's crystal clear. We've seen the odd fish rise. We've been fishing terrestrial patterns and working the water, looking for rises, little twitches, seeing if we can bring fish up. And it's stunning. There's the mountains all around us. And as somebody who doesn't really fish lakes a great deal, I'm really, really looking forward to this part of it and seeing how we get on. But I'm absolutely stunning again. We're high, as Paolo said, you know, we're pretty high. I think it was about 6,000 feet or so. So we're pretty high in the mountains at the moment. So you do feel it just a tiny bit. You're sort of aware of it. But it is, yeah, spectacular in a different way to yesterday. Much more rugged. You know, mountains, we're right in the mountains here. And a deep, you know, I'm looking down now while I'm talking to you, and the river, I think probably this afternoon, that looks too tempting not to fish. Big pockets, fast flowing, but yeah, that looks spectacular. But the lake is the priority this morning. And yeah, again, just mixing things up, I think, has been really, really pleasing to do already. Only, you know, the second day in of the three that we've got, but I'm really enjoying that. And of course, having the river as an option's really cool too. That's a wrap on the morning. Everyone's caught fish. The char have been, elusive's not the word. I've been lucky enough to catch some brown trout on like a, I think it's Paul Proctor's flip-flop pattern actually. I've caught some fish on that. And then I bumped into Johannes on the lake, and we talked. I'd seen some good-sized brown trout come out from under some weed and stuff. I was sort of working the edge of the lake looking for those fish, and I'd seen a couple of nice ones. Johannes happened to wander by, and yeah, we talked ourselves into a streamer and thought, well, you know, these big guys to come out, perhaps we need to tempt them that way. And I had a couple of fish that way as well. I had a couple of browns on dry flies as well, but I couldn't set on the char. And I saw them come up. Stefano, probably to make me feel better, said, well, you've got to have a bigger fly on to make them rise and come up and take it. And it's amazing seeing these fish come up through the water column to eat the fly. But they may have been a bit too small to actually set on. So I think he's, like I say, he's probably only done that to make me feel a little bit better. But we're having a lunch high up here. But I'm just with Steve Dowling, who's with us on the trip as well. And he's the man with the plan. He's caught some char this morning. But have you enjoyed the lake, Steve?
Oh, it's been absolutely spectacular. It's just been so real. Absolutely brilliant. I just I don't know. I can't just really describe what I'm feeling right now.
It is. We're standing. Steve and I are looking at the Dolomites in a massive valley with pine trees, the snow on the, just the last remnants of snow at the very highest levels. It looks like there's a ski run, doesn't it? The other side of the valley there. There's mountains as far as you can see. It does really remind me of the Rockies, really. It's really like that, but in a different way. But that's the best description I can give you. But like I say, you're the man with the plan with the char. I was really hoping to pop my char cherry, but didn't get lucky. But how would you describe them to listeners that I know you've done some of this sort of fishing before, but how would you describe the char to listeners?
They're not the huge, the biggest char in the world, but you know, char is a char. You know, they're just absolutely spectacular looking fish. Simple as that.
It sounds like you're on a bit of a high from it all as well. And yeah, it's that's what this place, I've already feel as though I've fallen under the spell of Italy. And it was interesting talking to the guys, Paolo, Stefano and Vito this morning. As I've said before, their passion for the place, but the undiscovered water, you know, there is so much water that we didn't really know about. And I only really knew about it after speaking to Vito in any meaningful way. I knew there were trout streams because we've got mountains, but the sheer variety. And Stefano was saying this morning that there's so much he's not fished and he gets out and fishes, and that's been the nice mix, isn't it? We're going to have a bit of lunch now. Are you going to hit one of the, because there's lakes around here as well, are you going to hit one of the other lakes, or are you going to do some river? What are you going to do?
I was thinking about the river that, well, we saw that river coming as we came up here, and that looked, well, again, you know, bloody awesome, you know?
I'm with you on that. I think that's probably the plan. So we're going to have a lunch. As I said, it's been lovely. And Rebecca as well. I'm going to try and catch her at some stage. But she was fishing fantastically. And you could hear her catching fish as well. That's one of the highlights for me, seeing her. And she's not fished for a long time as well. And it's been so cool to see her rekindle her love for fly fishing. And the bug, it feels to me as though it's biting pretty deep, and that's been wonderful to witness this morning and yesterday, of course, as well. So I've just managed to catch up with Rebecca after the lake on after the morning on the lake. Sorry, how was that?
It was great. It's very different to yesterday, but I caught two lovely brown trout. And you heard the shrieks out of me. It was great. It's some adrenaline somehow. It was lovely. Yeah, it's so beautiful up here. So different to yesterday. Oh, amazing.
Fantastic. We're all getting ready to go and have some lunch now. What are your plans? Are you going to go back to, because there's a number of lakes around here. Are you planning to go fish one of the lakes, or are you going to hit the river?
I might try the other side of this one and then something different, maybe. Yeah.
That sounds like a good plan. We had some lunch on top of the mountain, Tagliatelle, which was fantastic. And then we've all sort of decided to do our own little things this afternoon. A couple of the guys have gone. There's another mountain lake, so they're going after some more char. A couple of the guys, the river that runs out of the lake, they've gone to fish. And then Dan, myself and Johannes have come downstream. And we'd seen this river on some images. And Susan Scooper, if you're listening, I think you're the person in the images of fishing here. And so it's a little bit low. The river's not tumbling. The best I'd describe it as either chalk stream or Spring Creek-like. And there's a main river, and I'm actually fishing the feeder of it, really, which is no more. I could jump across it. It's 4 foot across.
and flipping flies in towards the bank, standing outside of the water, just flipping them along the bank. I've got a parachute coachman on, because the reason I've put that one on is that the guy said there's some brook trout in here, and I thought it would be kind of cool to try and catch a fish on American fly. So I thought that might be fun, and it's been amazing that I've had some brown trout, and they're beautifully marked, the brown trout. They've sort of got lines of red dots right across their side, almost along the lateral line are red dots. They're beautiful, they're angry, they're aggressive. They come out of nowhere from the bank and hit these flies. And yeah, it's easy to say all these sorts of things, but I'm standing here and I know everyone else sort of kind of feels the same. That it's so exciting, the variety of what we've been doing. And it's been nice that people have decided, well, I want to do a little bit of this or a little bit of that. And it's been really good fun to actually do that. But my sort of thing are these little streams, and this little creek is, as I said, I couldn't call it a creek. It's so small, but it's absolutely fantastic. I think I may have found heaven. If I get a well-aimed cast along the bank, then there's a chance somebody's going to come out. They'll travel out, even if I make a cast that goes in the middle of the flow. And it, like I say, it's 4 or 5 foot wide here, so the fish will dart out. There's a hint. I've talked about spring creeks. I've talked about chalk streams, but there's also a hint of Dartmoor about this, and Cherry Brook in particular, that an even flow, not rocky, it's flat. Keeping false casting to an absolute minimum, so I lift up, drop it down and go again. You'd think with a tiny little stream like this that a short rod may be better, but I found I'm fishing my ever faithful 9.5 foot 4 weight that Luke built for me, and it allows me to fish on the bank, and it allows me to make those accurate casts and pick it up nice and easily without minimal false casting. I feel it's giving me a little bit of an advantage, the longer rod, and making life a whole lot easier for me. But the river sort of snakes round. There's sort of some odd trees, branches down. So it's not easy, you know, being accurate and being able to get that cast in that narrow window and run it down the bank takes a tiny bit of getting used to, but it's just my sort of thing. I'm just loving it. The fish, when you hook them and you bring them in, the rod's rattling. Goodness knows what they'd be like if they were 3 pound or 2 pound or even pound fish, because they're so aggressive, they're so angry, they're bristling, angry fish, and I just love them. I know as a former guy, when you call a play and it comes off, you feel fantastic. And Stefano said, this spot from here, it's a pretty good spot for brook trout. Give it a go. And I changed. I stuck with the American fly pattern. And Jay Lee, if you're listening, I went for a black humpy. And the black humpy caught me a few brook trout, which was absolutely fantastic. We walked up, we're still fishing alongside the main river here. And Stefano took me a little bit higher up, and the river, or the carrier that we've been fishing, or the creek, whatever you want to call it, got even narrower. Got so narrow, it was probably 8 to 10 inches. And bow and arrow cast in, and I managed to catch a brown trout and a brook trout, which has left me speechless, I have to say. I cannot believe that we were finding these fish and managing to get a shot in there. There's grass overhanging the pool, and just being able to get a shot in there and actually catch a fish was amazing. Stefano, that was pretty cool, wasn't it?
Yes, it was really cool. It's funny to see how the fish can stay in such a small water and try to target that. It's absolutely fantastic.
Unbelievable fishing. Absolutely unbelievable. So it's end of day, we're packing up now, and I'm standing with Dan, and Dan was a star from yesterday. He caught the brook trout, but he came down the river with us this afternoon, and I know if you're probably listening to this, you're thinking, well, he's making it. It's been an amazing afternoon, and I've tried my best to capture what the river's been about, what it's like, just fishing the carrier there and everything else. And you've been on the main river. Yeah. How's it gone with the brook trout today?
No brook trout today. I've had a hybrid, apparently, which is brown with marble trout, Stefano explained. And a couple of variations, pretty silvery browns and one that was almost sort of black because apparently it's foraging amongst the rocks all the time, I was told. But it hasn't been about the fish anyway, really, has it? It's the whole sort of essence of the thing, really, where we are. Sound of the crystal clear stream coming down through the valley at our feet. And yeah, it's the whole experience.
How's it felt to you fishing this and seeing these streams, seeing the fish in there? How's that been? Because I need to tell listeners, we're kindred spirits. So Dan's from Devon, so he knows the streams there. So we've bonded over that and talked about the streams here. And they're certainly different from the ones in Devon, but in a different way. They're sort of, how would you sum them up?
That's a really good question. The streams we fished in Devon are very, very pretty, but this is spectacular. It's different because you've got mountain backdrops and everything. You've got the pine forest, and the water is much clearer as well. So the sort of gradient that it's sort of coming down and it's tumbling down, it's all quite similar, but the water is really crystal clear here, which is different, I think, to anything that I've really fished. Probably closest to Dartmoor, I think, in terms of our experience to date. But yeah, it's spectacular. And there's that added element of excitement in not knowing what you're going to catch. It's not necessarily going to be a brownie. It might be a brook, you know, potentially even a marble. I think you saw a big marble sort of come out from under a rock yesterday, chasing a small brownie that you had on. So there's that added element of excitement as well, I think. And we're in a high alpine environment here as well, so it's all a little bit more dramatic and exciting, really, I think.
And it's been pretty cool from a dry fly perspective as well, hasn't it? I'm guessing you've probably just stuck with the dries too.
Yeah, absolutely, that's a really good point. I sort of came here thinking this kind of stream was going to demand, you know, sort of French nymphing tactics, really, pocket water, but no, we've been fishing sort of tiny pocket water amongst cascading sort of riffles and stuff, all with just single dries. And I really like that simplicity. It's very pure, and it's been great fun.
And you christened your new rod.
Yeah, I have. The great thing about that is that I'd caught a few fish before I even remembered that it was a new rod. So it must be good. So I think it's got to be my go-to from now on. Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to head back, and that's, I guess, a wrap on Day 2 of Fly Culture, the Italian job. So this is it. It's the final day of Fly Culture, the Italian job. I'm fishing with Steve this morning and back with Stefano as well. He's taking us to another river that is sort of a mix between the two I fished so far. Not big, running down obviously a mountain stream, cascading over rocks. I don't know if you can get a sense. I'm sort of 50-60 feet away, but I can hear the roar of the river or the sound of the river, but it's not wide. Lot of pocket water. We're fishing big buoyant caddis patterns, good size. I guess it's going to be for me another dream day that it's pocket water that we're going to be fishing. We can all step around each other here as well and fish the pockets and choose where you want to fish. So I think it's going to work really nicely from this point of view. It's been interesting chatting in the car every morning on the way to the river and Stefano talking about the conservation work that they're doing the whole time. And one of the plans was to fish one particular section of river today, which we can't because they're doing some work on it to improve the habit or improve the river, but also really importantly improve the habitat for the fish as well. So we started fishing now, and the river's narrower than I actually described there. It's really not that wide. I've walked across to the other side, and the plan's been for Steve to fish up through a bit, and then so that we don't speak anything
spook anything, sorry. If we go a little bit further, then we can take it in turns working the pockets outside. Stefano said the best way is to try and hold your fly in those sections as long as you possibly can. That's where the longer rods really come into play as well. As I said, I've got my 9.5-foot banister, and that's doing that admirably for me. No real casting really of any real significance. I've probably got a foot or so of line out of the water, out of the rod tip, sorry, and that's about it. And that's all we've needed. But yeah, the noise, I think, as well, comes that the river's just dropping so fast as well. And I don't know if this is picking up in the background, but it's absolutely stunning. I've seen the lizard come out to go and warm itself for the day. So I'm sort of kind of hoping that we don't see any snakes as well. So I'm watching those carefully. They always say that if you're looking for them, you find them. So I'm probably going to see one. You may hear me shriek if I do, but yeah. We've been picking up fish in the morning session, but Stefano felt that the fishing wasn't as hot as it could be there. You know, it is pocket water fishing. He was hoping a few more fish. We were really happy with what we'd caught. It felt to me as though fish were sitting in slightly, just very slightly softer water rather in those harder pockets. So when there was a shallower pool with a soft run through it, that seemed to be where I was picking up fish. So often we had an early lunch and then we moved. He calls it the Brother River. It's like the valley along, and it's a 10-minute drive, something like that. And he said, it feels to me we need to change. We're going to call the change. First cast in, Steve lands fish and then has two or three more. And even though the river here is probably 10, 15 foot across, there's another side stream that's a little bit smaller, and Stefano sent me across. The trees are overgrown, tiny little pockets, and there was one shot I had that was a drop down over some rocks, and I couldn't even get a shot in with my rod. So I was, as I said, I've been using Luke's 9.5-foot four weight, and I had to split it in half to bow and arrow, and managed to catch a couple of fish. It was nice that Stefano came to find me. He probably feared that I'd fallen down somewhere, and sort of managed to hook one when he was watching, which is always pleasing. And he'd always said, "There's hunt, if you can get a shot in there, you've got a really good chance of catching a fish." And I've been watching Steve catch some really, really nice fish. He's fishing out of his skin, and I've sort of jumped into a pool, and I'd fished probably half a dozen pools, and nothing really happened. And Stefano was next to me, funnily enough, and I thought, I'm going to try something different. I'm fishing, I found a really old hopper pattern I must have bought in either Colorado or Montana or something many, many years ago. But I packed it for this trip because I thought it might come in handy. And I've been fishing it, and in that little spot I was telling you about where I had to break my rod in half to get the shot in, I put that fly in there. So I knew it was working and it was absolutely fine. You know, I don't think the fish are super spooky there. They get a small window to have a look and they have to make that decision really, really quickly. But nothing had been really happening, and so I decided I'd change the presentation a little bit and really slam down the cast and let the fly hit the water hard. And a fish, probably my nicest one of the day, came out from somewhere and absolutely hammered the fly. And Stefano said sometimes it's a really good plan. He'd mentioned it on the first day, actually, to the bigger fish will hide in the little slots between rocks or underneath rocks, and that heavy, aggressive presentation sometimes can bring them out to come have a look. So I've learned something. The other interesting thing is at the beginning of the day where I said the water was, you could hear the noise and the power of the water. It is quite noisy, and you can probably hear in the background. But the flow, although it looks strong and it is a mountain stream, isn't that difficult to walk across. Obviously, the key thing, studs have been really, really useful. But I've been hopping backwards and forwards across the river without any problems at all, and I've been really pleased with that, even in the faster heads of these little pools. And to give you an idea, these pools, the one I'm standing where I just had that nice fish, is probably 50. It's a slightly wider one. It just opens a little bit. Oh, it's probably 10 foot by 8 foot. and there's a defined flow between two runs. And I went to the left of that, and that guy came in and hit me. And really beautiful setting with Seb. We're just hopping around each other, taking it in turns in pools. Then when the river splits, I'll head off into the tiny little channel that runs down there, which has been great fun. But another great bit of variety, which has been fantastic. Can't remember if I mentioned the size of the fish as well, and the species as well. And I know I've mentioned char and brook trout and marble trout, but up here it's all been brown trout up here. The sizes, I would say most of them between 8 and 12. I think we've had them touching 14 inches today as well, so nice size. I know one of the streams, I think it was Rebecca was heading to with Kieran. I think the guys mentioned there were the odd grayling there as well. Not in big numbers, but there were grayling. So it's a nice variety of species. I was hoping the char, Steve caught a load of char yesterday on one of the other alpine lakes that he went to in the afternoon. I'd have loved to have got the chance to catch a char, but the chance of a brook trout was too much as well. But it's been a nice variety. But here today, I don't know if that's anything to do with elevation and how high up. We're quite high up as well, so that may be why we've only got brown trout up at this height. I'll check with Stefano, but thought it was worth mentioning anyway. I can only describe this as a honey hole. There's quite a sharp drop down, yeah, from pretty high as a bridge, actually, as I look upstream coming across the river. Looks a bit of a plunge pool, or the bottom of a plunge pool. The river hits a great big rock, about the size of a Peugeot 205 or a Mini Metro, if you're old enough to know. And then there's some flat water at the back that hits a back eddy, and it looks just sweet. There's a smaller flow on the left as well that looks as though it can hold fish, and then you can see like the foam of the water that's sitting still, so there's a back eddy there as well. There's so many places for fish to potentially sit here, so I think Steve's going to give this a go. The guy's fishing like a demon at the moment, so I think he's going to give this one. Steve's in position now. He's got a big caddis on. Just treated it to make sure it sits nice and high. Then he's just working the water here. So there's a smaller pool before he hits the main run. He's working that before he goes for the what I think is probably the money shot. Here we go. Yes, he's got it. He's done it straight away. As soon as he went into that spot, hooked a fish. Nicely done, mate. Beautiful brown trout. He was primed and ready. And fish there. Stefano's just unhooked it and put it back. And he's back up and running again. Just, well, I'm pleased we called it the honey hole. It has lived up to expectations so far. So the second cast gone in, he's treated the fly. And he's into the main sort of teeth. It's the back of the pool before the sort of, yeah, he's fishing where the faster foamy water has finished. And then just beyond that, there's almost like a back eddy. The water's really, really slow there. Stefano's just crouching next to him now. And I think he's trying to get him to throw a little bit longer into that. Yeah, he's thrown one right into the far run. It's running along the edge of a rock now. Yeah, it's in that soft water now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, Steve. That's two out of there. And that's a really dark fish, probably 6-7 inches long. Absolutely beautiful. And that was in that softer water. And then there's another just to the left of the main flow. There's just some water running into a small pot. It's a nice size pool relative to how high we are up the river now as well. Right, he's in that spot now. And it's coming round. It's a lot softer water there. That looks really good. And again, he's just chucked another one into the head of where that little bit of water's running between some rocks at the moment. And then just working all the pockets wherever there's a place where he feels a fish might be sitting, just out of that main flow, but has some shelter. The interesting thing about this is that the fish, you know, I've said they're aggressive, but they're by no means dumb. You know, you'll get one or two shots in the standard size pool. And I've tried silly little things like dancing the fly up and letting it drift, and they're not having any of... Oh, is a fish come and looked? Yeah, he's got it. Yeah, I could see it from up high. The fish sort of came round on the fly and took it. That was fantastic. And that I think tells us the sort of, or gives you an indication of the size of the pool, that three fish out of it has been extraordinary. But I'm standing up pretty high, so I can see everything. I could see the fish turn around on the fly. It was almost like a cat, I guess, turning round on it and then just said, yeah, I'm going to eat you. So, Stefano, your office is pretty cool, isn't it?
Yes, it's pretty cool, and I feel really lucky about that, so I have to take care about it.
And you made that call as well. Although we were really happy with the number of fish we were catching this morning, you made the call, and it's paid off, hasn't it? We've come to, as you called it, the brother river of the one we fished this morning, and you must be pleased because we caught a bunch of fish this afternoon, haven't we?
Yes, we was in the brother of this tributary this morning. Probably for the quantity of sun and the light and maybe the temperature a bit of the water was not that active. So we quickly decided to move, and at the end was the right decision. So I'm happy even for that.
Nice work, my friend.
So we're about to head home now. We're all a little tired. We celebrated last night. We had a few grappa and a few other things as well. But it's been an amazing trip. Vito, thank you so much for pulling off such a memorable trip for us. It's been absolutely fantastic.
Thank you. It has been amazing. I'm honest, that was a great group. We had so much fun. And it was great because it was so heterogeneous. Is that a word? Like everyone, every angler is different in terms of expectation, in terms of needs, in terms of, you know, fishing skill and so on. But at the end of the day was great because everyone had his own experience, something that hopefully the angler will take back home. And everyone shared something. So it has been great. There is this sad feeling, like, you know, the end of the summer sometimes, but I'm quite sure that won't be the last time.
You're absolutely right about that. We're going to be back next year and we're already talking about it. So thank you, Vito. If people want to head to Italy to fish with you, and I know obviously we've got the trout, but there's also the bass as well. How do people find you? What are your social media handles and website, etc.?
So the best way is on the website, which is www.italyonthefly.com. Then I am personally on the social media, is Vito, V-I-T-O, Rubino, R-U-B-I-N-O. And I am on Facebook and Instagram. And then there are links from the website with email and so on. So just get in touch.
Fantastic, Vito. It's been a wonderful trip. Thank you so much. Everyone, this has been a special Fly Culture podcast. We've been on the road a little bit further than I've been before. The variety of fishing we've experienced has been outstanding. And the friendships are forged as a result of this have been brilliant. And it's not just the fish that have made this trip, it's the people as well. And we've laughed, we've fished together, and I think it's captured what fishing's about, certainly from a fly culture point of view as well. So I just couldn't have asked for more. I'm a little sad to be leaving, I have to say, but it won't be my last visit to Italy. Thanks so much for listening to the Fly Culture Podcast.
The Fly Culture Podcast is brought to you in association with Fly Culture, a quarterly print magazine. For more information, please visit flyculturemag.com. You can also find Fly Culture on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.